Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav 4. Now, with this week's guest, Flav Bateman.
Thank you. Everybody. Thanks for having me on again.
Technical difficulties there. Apologies for that. We've made it happen. And the problem that we may have is there'll be no horns this week, I'm afraid, because I wanted to go live because it's been an evening. We've had an evening and we've got a weekend. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
How are you, Flav?
Yeah. I'm all right. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you were a high note to a low note, where what note are you? If you were like or you're like where are you?
Yeah, I get it. Look, it's nothing to do with how impressive Arsenal were against Chelsea, and it's nothing to do with the fact that Spurs have been open this season. It's the same before any time we play Arsenal, and it's no different this time. Although I feel like it might be tempting fate here, I feel like it's going to be a closer game and we're going to have a better performance than people think. I think the assumption is that we're going to get swept aside. That's my feeling. That's what I've been picking up.
Sure.
And then fundamentally, though, pressure is all on them, isn't it? But I don't want to talk about that game yet.
Yes, we'll get to that.
What I want to focus at the start, James, about that game last night and why it was special for the Premier League, why that, what we saw last night, was the magic in the Premier League. Because there is so much focus, and I was fucking fuming after the game, watching the analysis and the questions and the talking points around it. What that performance from Everton last night was sensational.
Mm.
And what's glorious about the Premier League is that result can happen. Liverpool have to win at Goodison to keep their title challenge alive. Everton have to win to just make sure that they're not relegated from the Premier League. Every advantage is with Liverpool. Everton haven't won at home against them in 12 years. 13 years, maybe. Is it 2011 or 2010?
Yeah.
And they turn up, points deductions, massive criticism of the squad.
6-0 defeats.
6-0 defeats, getting pumped earlier on in the season. And they've beaten their most fiercest rivals, who look down on them constantly, by the way. Liverpool fans constantly look down on Everton, as if they're nothing to them. As if every time they play Everton, they will just brush them aside. You can sense... And what did Everton do? They slapped them up. Turned it on, and that's what I'm saying is that is the magic of the Premier League. Not watching City go on a 10-game winning streak. That's not magic. That's inevitability because of the amount of money that gets pumped into that football team. Jim, I'm nearly finished.
That's good.
What is magic is the fact that Everton can pull that result out last night, and they deserved it. They were fantastic. The only thing that Liverpool did better than them was keep possession of the ball. I would say a couple of chances when they're 1-0 down, but brilliant work from Everton. Fantastic work, and what a way to stop their rivals from winning the Premier League.
Yeah, why are you smiling?
Don't know.
That was a weird, that was a creepy smile at the end of it. Is that because your people say, a couple of people in the chat saying foreshadowing? Are you?
I'm just saying. Look. The most important thing is you know, if Arsenal beat Tottenham at the weekend, then you know, that's good for them. They're having a good season. They might win the league. If we beat them, they don't win the league, and that's it, really. But no, like I said, I want to focus on Everton and Liverpool, because no one was talking about Everton and how great they were yesterday. It was all about the dismantlement of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, we've got months to talk about that. Why weren't Everton last night given the flowers? And Carragher, every time there was a conversation that might move away from Liverpool, he just brought it back to them. It's infuriating.
And that begs the question, are Liverpool out of the title race? Isn't it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm joking.
No. Stay with Everton. Let's stay with Everton. Because I think I watched Ped on Toffee TV. Because I think for us, I had Chris Pajak on the pod this week, and we're doing like a 3-part mini series of, you know, what is the ripple effect if they actually win it? Like, instead of going just, are they going to win it? What happens after that, right? And it's interesting. It's a good conversation. And we've done it with Man City with Boovy, and so this week was Pajak with Liverpool. And I was chatting to him, and he's like, you know, 14 years he's been doing Redmen TV. Like, it's a long, long old time. And we're just getting started. But for Ped, right, I plead for anyone, probably not Liverpool fans, you probably don't fancy it, I get that. But any football fans who are often the underdog and don't really get what they want, go and watch, click on the player ratings video from Ped. From Toffee TV, and he doesn't talk for the first 30 seconds. He just goes, and he's just like that. And then he's talking, and he's going, he went, I've been doing Toffee TV for 10 years, and I don't know what this feels like. We've never won at home after a derby. And I was just like, that's amazing. And he said that, tomorrow, but for anyone who doesn't know, Redmen TV is a Liverpool fan channel, you know, the Liverpool one. Toffee TV is the Everton one. We used to work with them, but they have their own office up in Liverpool. And generally, Everton have just obviously been in the doldrums for so long, and they have to work in that office with Liverpool, who, you know, to put it into context, Pajak's done his top 10 Klopp moments, which comes out tomorrow, and he had 15. He had six, like, it was ridiculous. There's, like, Carabao Cup wins not in there and all sorts of things not in there. And Ped has to deal with that and stomach that every single day whilst Everton get points deductions and are just generally trash. And he said, I don't know what I'm... So he'll be doing it right now. He'll be in there now. And he said, I'm going to walk in the office and I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit in there. I'm just going to sit in there and be smug. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just don't say anything. Their performance-wise, it was top draw. There was a calamity of errors leading up to the first goal. And Liverpool, their performance was symptomatic of the end of the road for Jurgen Klopp. But take nothing away from Everton. They deserve that because of their performance. How dogged they were. It sounds like obvious, but they wanted it. They were desperate for it. And they've always wanted it. It's a Merseyside derby, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest in Europe. One of the biggest derbies in Europe, for sure. And they always want it. But technically and skill-wise, Liverpool were always a few yards ahead of them. And yesterday, their passion ran out. It was a superb performance. Immensely satisfying from a position of, if you enjoy the idea of the underdog winning, this was a beautiful example of it. You know, Liverpool couldn't cope with the set pieces, which isn't an issue with Klopp and their organisation, although the second goal was horrendous to give Calvert-Lewin that much room to a free header. But it was generally, you know, Everton have an immense ability, and Sean Dyche through the years has created set pieces so that they always give their team the best chance of winning the game. And it was unreal what Everton did last night. And it's a story that will live on through the ages, because they'll never let Liverpool forget about last night.
And it's, you know, offered it, you know, for the bigger team, it feels like slim pickings, and it is, but it's a picking, and like they haven't been able to pick for some time. So no, I thought it was good. I actually obviously missed the game. I was up in Coventry, at Coventry Hull, the real big one. And actually, it was a good game. Actually, 3-2 to Hull. They got mauled. Coventry got mauled by the Tigers. But it was good. I was there up there with Steve-O, and then you could kind of see the results coming in. You were like, wow. But I had about like 2 hour drive to listen to everything. To your point, did Everton take it? Or did Liverpool give them the win?
No, I understand what you're saying. And often, it often will be that way. And it was discussed, and they spoke around the game like Liverpool gave that game away. That's the way it was being discussed. Like, this is on Liverpool because they weren't good enough. But I don't agree. It was on Everton because they were good enough.
Mm.
They made it so difficult for Liverpool. They were compact and tight. But when they got the ball, they were effective. And Liverpool, no doubt, had chances, certainly in the first half. But it was just, it was all down to Everton's great play and game management and desire to get off that pitch victors. And that's what it was about. It wasn't about Liverpool giving anything away. It was all credit to Everton.
And that's the beauty of a derby game as well. Some really good comments here, actually. So Thomas Martin, Nigel Martin's son, which I don't always like saying that, but for other people who don't know that he's part of our family. Actually, I've got a picture of him. I'm genuinely so happy. This season has been awful. And to end it with that yesterday, beating Liverpool and almost guaranteeing safety feels so good. Kai, my producer's big Everton fan. He's absolutely, I called him on the drive home and he's like, I'm just basking in this. Like, this is so lovely. Ollie said Everton were good. Ollie's a Liverpool fan. Ben Bowman says Everton set the tone and took it. I like that. And that's it when it's a derby game, especially a home one. You've got to make it ugly. And I think that's, we can't lose that in football matches. Like, the ability for it to be about that. Like, for it to be a bit of a, not a brawl, but like, for it to be reduced, sort of heightened to an, I guess, brought to the boil with enough intensity that it's not about, you know, hanging in there. Like, it's something different. I'm gutted. I missed
it. It was a great game. I mean, look, we'll say it was a great game. It was a 6 or 7 out of 10 game in terms of quality, but the passion and the weight and the impact of the result made it so much more interesting. And this, like, at the business end of the season, you get that in so many games. The narratives are playing out, aren't they? And, you know, like I said at the top of the show, it felt like the end of the road.
So, yeah, right. I want to talk about that because...
For Liverpool.
So, but the end of the road for the season, are you saying?
Just of Klopp's, the Klopp institution.
Doesn't that... Like, I mean, obviously it is because he said he's going. But if... This sort of like this idea that Klopp's at the end of a cycle, I think it's nonsense.
I think he's had enough.
No, I appreciate he's had enough. And I appreciate you have to take in the context for the emotions of the players. And I think that's obviously got to them. But I think if that doesn't happen, if he doesn't say I'm retiring and they're playing out this season, are they this close to winning it? We'll never know. But I say it played out exactly the same way, but he's here next season. No one's saying it's the end of the cycle.
100% you're correct, James. So I've got a question for you. Should he have said anything? Like, what was that about, really? Because if there's
should
no...
Should he have kept it to himself?
Yeah. Should he just shut his fucking mouth? Think about it. At the time, you thought... Like, what? It's weird that he's announced that he's going at the end of the season, but this isn't uncommon in football, especially in Germany, for a player or a manager to declare their intentions, whether that's to stay or go, midway through the season. You get players doing it all the time. It's not uncommon, but in England it is. It's a weird thing for a manager to do. And you can only assume, because we have no other choice to, that Liverpool's performances in the tail end of this season... have been somewhat impacted by Klopp going early with the fact that he's... Because there's... What consequences there for the players? And these are very broad strokes, and maybe none of what I'm saying is true, but these are my assumptions. What consequence of is on the player if they play poorly? Because they're going to be evaluated by a new manager anyway. If your performance drops by 0.5% in the Premier League, it's significant. If they're not motivated by what Klopp's saying anymore, or understand that there are no consequences for their performances because a new manager's coming in, even on a subconscious level, that's not helpful. That said, you could. I think what was being spoken about by Liverpool fans a lot was like, oh, this is the end of Klopp's era. We're all pulling together, and there's that motivation. I think I said that. The motivation of that would give Liverpool the edge, but it appears to not have done.
Yeah, I said regularly that I thought that was the crux of it for me with Liverpool, because I thought that they will create enough chances to win games. And that's why I've always put them above Arsenal. All season long, I've said they've got enough attacking options, different player profiles to change the game, and quality as well to go and break down teams, right? And actually, I was looking at it this morning, and their XG minus goals, which basically you want in the green, because it means that you're kind of taking your chances, your sort of the quality's there. If you look through the season, at the start it's okay, and then there's this sort of not purple patch, green patch, which is after Klopp's announcement. And yeah. I think in a period of the season where there's possibly a bit of a lull, I think that dialed up the motivation, but there was still that distance from the finishing line, and so it wasn't too intense. And I said numerous times, I thought that emotion would fuel them in the right way, and it would be fine. I think when you look at it, but come back to that XG thing, if you look at the last 10 games, consistently they have created enough XG, but they haven't taken those chances, and that has a ripple effect where your confidence drops. And you tense up more, and there's a cycle there where you it gets worse and worse, added to the fact that your adrenaline is going up anyway because you're getting to the end of the season, coinciding with that finishing line being won the title race, but the death of Klopp at the club because it's over. And yeah. I think that side of it has got too much, because Klopp in his post-match was talking about we were rushing it. And not having enough ideas and things like that, and I think that's where it's got too much for them. But coming back to the announcement with him, I would say that from what I'm aware of, it was getting leaked, like someone knew, so they had to say,
or just deny it. I get what you're saying.
Wouldn't have got away though, would it?
Yeah, why does everyone just leave? Like, why leak? I mean, leak is some massive news, but fucking just let them get on with their job.
I always find
that. Yeah, look, in terms of ripple effects, what does this do for Everton? Because they're up, right? But they look like they were in serious trouble. I think they go on 7 or 8 without a win recently. Two points deductions, and yet they're in the league because of that great result last night against their arch rivals. Like, do you see them rebounding next year with a new sense of purpose?
Vigour,
because Everton spent so much time around that fucking poxy end of the league when a club of their size shouldn't be. I worry about them, that the owners coming in, that 777.
Yeah,
doesn't have a good feel to that. That doesn't feel right.
On the Ripple Effect, we did a podcast on that, and Kieran Maguire was like, don't get into bed with them. Like that, if I was them, I would getting into bed with them because they have several. There's several instances of them not having the cash flow to pay off things they need to pay off, And that's not great, right. Is it? Yeah. Whereas, like, no, you know, like Ratcliffe buys loads of stuff and then piles money into them, and then they get massive. Like that's a bit more. That feels safer, doesn't it?
Good. That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? So yeah.
So how are they getting through the fit and proper persons test? Do you know what?
I'm not sure if they are.
Well, no, they're going through that process at the moment. No, they're not. They're not. But do you think, you know, because all the Everton fans holding up the Premier League is corrupt signs, the Premier League going, okay, if that's the way you want to play it, fucking take them. Have 777.
Yeah.
Even the idea.
Or the opposite, right?
We're corrupt. All right, how about fuck you? How about you can have these lot? What's even more damning about them, what's alarming to me, and this means nothing, but for me, it means everything. The branding and name of their company is fucking terrible. It's such a kerfuffle to say 777 every single time you have to reference them.
Yeah. And 777's not shorter, is it?
777 is better. It scans better. But they haven't even done that. It's 777. It's a ball ache to say.
Sevens.
That is alarm bells. Sevens.
We've got a Super Jack. Get in. 250 on its way to you, of course, Flav. Jack Doherty.
You say that every single time you do that joke and never arrives. Not once. How many of these have we done through the years? Loads. I reckon I'm owed about 40 quid.
Yeah, at least. At least. Can we bump that up, guys? Huh? Huh? All of it, of course, half of it will make its way to Flav. Just get it in there. Oh. by the way, I've got some really good questions I'm ready to ask. One is this. Because I'm stealing it essentially from Twitter. Arsenal versus Liverpool, double standards in bottling debate. Hold it. We're going to talk about, Arsenal, Tottenham. I want to touch on that. And from our beloved patrons, who are kindly allowing us to be live today. Thank you to them.
Generally, it's just us and them, isn't it?
Yeah. And from that, we've got three new bits. We've got new bits as well. So well done, everyone. See, can't force these things. But a couple of bits from the mailbag. One is gentle disputes. Is anyone having a gentle dispute right now?
Is it gentle dispute or rumbling disputes? No, was it? What was the slow rumbling? I don't know. Maybe just gentle.
Slow. Yeah, I mean, I wrote gentle disputes.
These gentle disputes are just good. What were the examples we had?
So the one we asked was was that live, actually. Flav messaged my wife, who doesn't believe that I am, despite being white, a tanned white man.
Look at him, he's got a lovely colour.
Ecuadorian, which we discussed. So Flav messaged fam during that, which, yeah, you guys could have been part of that for less than a London pint. So join us on Patreon if you want to. But we've got some good bits. So if you've got a slow rumbling argument with anyone about anything, absolutely doesn't need to be about football. We'll solve that for you right here, right now. Okay. Or next week, more likely. Secondly, we'll talk about the other thing we want to talk about, which came from the mailbag, the bacon fallacy. All will be revealed.
Get them on board. Just saying,
stick around. Bacon fallacy. Yeah, I'll need the second.
I better stick around for that after they finish talking about.
Yeah. Meeting starting, guys. I'll be there in a minute. He's about to talk about bacon. Right, Arsenal versus Liverpool, double standards in bottling debate. There we go. Let's poke the beast. Did they bottle it? Are they bottle? Are they mid bottle?
Who? Liverpool or Arsenal?
Yeah, Liverpool.
Liverpool. I don't think that Liverpool were ever in. I felt that, like, out of the three, they were the least likely to win the league. I think we talked about this on this podcast a while back. So I think in this instance, all three of them, it's been so close that there is no bottle job. I don't think. It's such a fucking stupid term that's been thrown around at every single... It's lost its impact now. It's like the word N-O-N-C-E. I don't know if I can say that without getting demonetized.
Oh, I think you've done great there. Well done.
Can I say it or not?
Oh, right. Oh, no, right. Yeah, you have said it. Carry on.
Okay. Yeah, you can be one of them for drinking too much coffee or enjoying planes or, in my instance, sharks.
Yeah.
Apparently, because I like sharks, that makes me an N-O-N-C-E. So, in the same way that bottling's lost its impact, I don't think... No, I wouldn't genuinely, without my Spurs hat on, it doesn't matter who doesn't win the league this season. They've all been competitive. There hasn't been someone who's been 10 points ahead, 15 points ahead. Ergo, none of them have bottled it if they don't win the league. I think that's a fair place to be.
Just out of curiosity, do you own a Spurs hat?
No.
Okay. So you can't...
Don't own any
can't
Spurs.
Say that then, can you?
Spurs merchandise.
You can't say that.
All right, no, I do actually have a hat, Spurs hat. There you go. I can say it.
I mean, look.
What do you think? What you answer the bloody question?
Four games left and they're still in it. Right, okay. For them not to bottle it, Say Man City win their two games in hand. That puts them on 76, right, 79. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That put them on 79.
Two points ahead of Arsenal if they win.
Yeah. Then I would say as long as it doesn't go past I don't know, man. They've been overwhelmed a bit, Liverpool. And I think if you're going to go after Arsenal and say they're bottling it every year, then via the same definition, on this occasion, they're sort of one game Arsenal away from they're about two games away from not bottling it. So they'd be
10 points ahead though, weren't they, at one stage last season?
Yeah, that's true. That's a bit different.
That's bottling it. You have to be clearly, in a position where
that's a good point. I like that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, because it's been so competitive, this top three. There's been three genuinely title contenders. There remains three. You can't say any of them are bottle jobs.
Right. They've fallen away. Okay. If anyone loses now, they've fallen away. They've not bottled it.
I don't think you can fall away with four games left.
I like that.
There's nothing. It's been a good, wholesome Premier League title race, right? And as long as Arsenal don't win it, we can all walk away happy.
Okay. Which leads us on perfectly.
I was in the WhatsApp group with a couple of Liverpool fans last night. They were devastated.
Really?
I'm convinced behind all of the abuse they were receiving, they were actually crying at home. I wouldn't be surprised if there were actual tears coming down these grown men's faces. Yeah. It was a bad one. They got a shellacking in the WhatsApp groups, right?
Did they? They generally get the either moral high ground or just general high ground. So I think they have to take the odd slap.
They've been awful, mate. They've been awful over the last 4 or 5 years. They've been awful, okay? Unbearable at times in Klopp's greatest seasons. So now it's our turn to get them, okay? That's just the way it is. Anyway, the last message he said is, I can't believe that Man Shitty is what he said. Man Shitty.
Wow. How old is this guy?
I don't want to expose him. And he said...
Man Shitty.
And I was like, everybody wants Man Shitty to win the league. Of course they do. Unless you're an Arsenal fan, everybody should want Man Shitty to win the league.
Okay, here's a good one. Ollie Sage said this. He said, interesting topic raised by Goldbridge. What a mark. Congratulations. He said, is the Premier League as good as we think it is when the team we expect to win wins it and the three teams that come up go straight back down? Which is what it's looking like.
Yeah. So is it good?
Is it as good as we think it is?
But that's not the parameters that people set out when they're talking about whether or not the Premier League is good.
Yeah. What is good? Yeah.
The good is the competitive nature of the competition everywhere, apart from the three teams that come up. It's such a binary way of looking at it that it's not fair on the Premier League. I mean, a more interesting one is, has our elevated opinion of the Premier League, that it's head and shoulders above all of the other European leagues, has that taken a bit of a battering this year?
Yeah,
because
I think so.
How you gauge that is how well you play in Europe. And we've been shit, more or less. Is that fair? Like, who would you say, what's the strongest league what's the strongest league in Europe? What is the strongest league in Europe at the moment?
I would go on the idea of where the best players are playing. So yeah. I would say that if you did a worldwide vote and had the top 100 players, which country has the most? I would say
England.
I would say Premier League would probably be up there for that. I get the idea. I get the European thing for sure.
Germany took the best striker in the league away from a Premier League club.
Very good point.
Like maybe things are changing. We don't know. I'm not
Bayer Leverkusen killing it. Absolutely killing it.
Clearly the best team in Europe at the moment. Clearly.
Arsenal toothless against Bayern. Real Madrid found a way. I think from a collective, these are all different. There's two German teams there. After those two, I mean, West Ham, you know, West Ham gave Bayer Leverkusen a game. Atalanta got Liverpool, did Liverpool. I think what's difficult to see is the fact that generally we know that the teams that spend the most money have the best teams.
Hey, Tanner, Spurs not even making it.
That's really good.
Touché. Yeah, touché,
nice,
my friend.
Nice, really nice. But yeah, I think generally it's the team, you know, the teams with the most money are generally the best teams. So you would imagine that the Premier League thus is that. But one must beware hubris.
That's right, Jim. One must beware hubris. Can I ask you a question? Because we haven't spoken about it. And I know it was at the weekend. What about Nottingham Forest and that statement? Where are you at with it?
Okay.
I've heard people, and just let me set this up for you, because I've heard there's two schools of thought. One, the general school of thought is it was embarrassing, right? But there are people who are sick to death with the standard of refereeing in this country, and VAR is ruining the game, which I agree with. But where are you at with that statement?
Okay, so what I do find funny is the hypocrisy of punditry and fans kind of having a go at the possibility of, well, first of all, of bad decisions, like and the need to respect the referee when no one respects referees. Do you find that slightly funny? And the conspiracies that people kind of feel. And I'll be honest, like, dare I say, I'm going to be vulnerable on the pod here, because I know we don't like the conspiracy theory things. But what I must say is that the sort of the buildup of frustration that I have with certain issues in football and in life, when you are the B-side, when you are the smaller thing, it doesn't matter if you even shout. Like the Coventry game, is I can't get past it.
I hate it.
It's first of all, watching that game is my wet dream. So championship side, 3-0 down, 20 minutes left, Wembley, last minute of extra time, right? All that stuff, right?
Yeah. Manchester United, the Manchester United. Yeah.
And the thing that the fact that you can't escalate it past being disappointed because the world just keeps moving on and, well, Man United are in the final. No, stop. Stop this. Like, and to the same point with VAR, like, I actually started to think, what can we do? Like, I honestly was chatting to a Coventry fan last night, and he's actually a Leeds fan who goes to Coventry, and I was like, is VAR coming into the EFL next year? I think it might be. Maybe it's not. I pray it's not. But I was like, I promise you, if you surveyed everyone, I'm certain people wouldn't want it. I'm certain.
You'd think. But I think there have been surveys done for Premier League fans.
But like,
and it was generally in favour. But it needs to be improved.
That offside is it's just the biggest disgrace. And it's the greatest moment that, like, it's what football's about, and it's utterly stolen. And then you see the pictures, and the pictures are wrong. The lines are wrong. The ball has left his foot. He's not offside. But we just get on with it because, well, the Man United voice is bigger. So, oh well. It kills me.
They should find out who was on the who's the fourth official? Or who was the VAR? He should be stood in front of a line of 1,000 Coventry fans, and each one of them can backhand him.
But it's just nonsense, though, mate. It's impossible. Unless you're going to go like semi-automated or whatever it is, which I think they're doing, right? And if that's that, then that's that. And it's technology is its technology, and therefore it's a there's a consistency to it. That I can live, that I can probably live with, right? But it has to be immediate, because we can't celebrate anymore. And it's fucked.
What you said, James, about it being, you know, an incredible moment for Coventry. It would have been one of the most, if not the most incredible moment in the history of the FA Cup, probably.
Yeah.
It would have been up there. It would have been up there. And we not only, I mean, the Coventry fans are devastated and furious, no doubt. But football as a community of fans should be as furious as them. Mm. It was a joke. It was an absolute joke. And a massive, massive shame.
It's a crime, man. And Jess Shrew said a couple of weeks ago on the pod, he said, I love the way the phrase he used. He said, it's an insult to everyone inside the stadium. And it is. It's an insult, an absolute insult. And people say it's going to be semi-automated. Yeah, in the Premier League. But maybe that's not the case in the Championship. But say this year, we've had horrific. Like we were pretty sure we should have had a penalty. We've had someone handball, a defender handball the ball, tip it over the line, which could have sent us down. You just get on with it. You just get on with it. We're in a living world where people aren't like. It was some elements of life. You have to like accept frustration. But
it's
what's
better?
But what's disappointing with this is that, like, you know, to your point about the Everton-Liverpool things, you just talk about Liverpool. And I know I'm part of the problem. I know the title's about Liverpool. I get it. But yeah, it's grim, man. It's really grim.
All of those things that are incorrect, the offsides that are offside, that get given, the penalties that should never have been given, got given, and relying on a referee's ability to view an incident and make the correct decision, made football a part of why it was so great. The injustice, genuine injustice. And the idea of VAR was to remove confusion so that the correct decision is made. And consistently, that hasn't been the case. And even if more decisions are proven to be correct, it doesn't remove the controversy. Instead of arguing about things about the game which are a natural human error, or a mistake by a player, which is a part of what the game is, we're now just arguing about inches. Yeah. And removing moments that we've been talking about for the last 5 fucking years, James, and it keeps happening. You're removing the very best thing about football.
Yeah, man, it's wild.
Because
protecting the wrong things. And it's not correct. That's what I find amazing. But that's where like the punditries, I think that has to stop as well. So there's a conspiracy here when people are going, like the Clattenburg, like Gary Neville's absolutely right. Clattenburg thinks it is bizarre. They're sort of trying to put pressure on the referees in some ways.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Odd, it's weird, right? And the breaking down of like, was it a penalty, was it not a penalty, like those things happen at times. But I think like the bulk of analysis now is because is about VAR. Actually, yeah, I would like to say, boring. I think it would be refreshing if most, that's where, like, if most pundits are going, this is a disgrace, this is a disgrace. Well, hang on, you're all talking about it all the time. And you're all saying it's a disgrace. That everyone else says it's a disgrace. Actually, maybe it's just one where we're like, well, that was that guy's opinion. Because that's life too. Like, that was the referee's opinion. He thought it was a penalty. Well, I guess it's a penalty then. I guess we'll have to get on with our lives. Like, it's just...
So is this a long-winded way of saying that Nottingham Forest were right?
No, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, I mean, they can't... The conspiracy, like, there's a Luton fan thing. I think the worst thing about it, and it was a good point by someone, was that you make Forest a joke. Forest fan, and I've had that. I've had to, you know, we all have that, don't we, at different moments. But like, Nottingham Forest as a football club look more like a joke now when those things are coming out. Do you know what I mean? That's a problem. I'd be embarrassed if I was a Forest fan. And what's annoying with those things is that embarrassment, I haven't done that. Like, and the Forest fans aren't like that. So
yeah, it's not on me.
Yeah, I ain't done that. It's like it's my owners. Like my owner can't let it go. I mean, I get it. Look, and again, small teams don't get the decisions. So we are kind of contradicting ourselves along the way here because of the Coventry thing. Forest, it's they were playing against Everton, who are sort of there alongside them. But the sort of Luton, the sort of finding out that the VAR guy's a Luton fan just is odd. And I would also say, say that is a Luton fan, right? And people know he's a Luton fan. His people at work know he's a Luton fan. You would be, so for me, for example, right? When I analyse Chelsea for a video, like I don't like Chelsea. But because of that, I will go almost too far to really try and remove emotion from what I'm seeing because I want to get it right. But also, I'm fully aware that Chelsea fans are going, oh, well, he's blah, 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 which I get that. I appreciate that. So for this Luton fan VAR guy, he's probably even more likely to be go, well, no, actually, this is correct. Because as much as he wants Luton to stay in the league, he wants to keep his job and do his job well. So
do you think you got the decisions correct? The Ashley Young correct decision? They were all debatable.
They're all very debatable and all could have been absolutely given. Absolutely.
Or not,
but do you know what I mean? Like, you're never going to get it right. It's subjective. We've said this a thousand times.
And also, and I saw it again and it drives me up the wall, Jim. I've just got to get it out because it's been sitting in with me. You go on TikTok and you see these creators and they're going, it's corruption. It's corruption.
Yeah.
Not corruption. It's not corruption. And we keep having this conversation. It's not corruption. You're using the wrong word.
Yeah.
Inept, maybe. They're unable to do their job properly.
I do want, again, come back to the commentary thing. I think for the thing that you could suggest is that for an easier life, they go, go on, let's take it away. If you want to really spin something, which I don't think is the case, is you go, there will be more money and more eyeballs on the FA Cup final if it's Man United. Could be an idea, but actually, for some, that's again, and for another group, I think Coventry City have made a lot of fans from that cup final. Was that semi-final?
You hear them singing, was it Small Town, the Enemy song?
Yeah.
That gave me goosebumps. Yeah, like that. You watch that and you go, I wish we'd have thought of that. I wish that was my football club doing that.
I think I'm really excited about that. Which we haven't spoken about. I'm really excited about how fans are actually organising themselves just a little bit more and having like longer songs, and we're seeing the banners and people being creative. I think that's something that we've sort of people turned their nose up at for too long, and I think we're seeing a difference now. And yeah, mate, I was there last night. I was at Coventry last night, and their fan base is so healthy because they've been in League Two. They've not had their own ground. They've had all these things.
They've gone through the thick, haven't they?
They've gone through the thick. Yeah. No.
You've got to go through the thick. No, the thick. Thick's hard to move through. Thin's easy.
Sorry.
Anyway, let's not do this again. But they've had these periods where of existential crisis. They don't know at times whether they were going to exist. They thought they were going to be sewn up at one stage. Didn't even have a ground to play in properly.
Yeah.
Didn't own their ground. And look at them now. It's this is it. It's like it's why it's so infuriating Please. When someone says, well, who's your top six club, though? Because it can't just be Coventry, can it? Look at the journey they've been on. And I tell you what, as a fan base, there are none who feel as good right now, after that result, as Coventry as a collective. Not necessarily about where they're moving as a football club, and it seems to be improving.
But I think as a collective,
there's nothing greater than being belonging to something that you truly believe in. And there's so much division in most fan bases now.
Mate, it was that, like, chatting to the fans yesterday. You know, they went out of the playoff hunt yesterday, and they were all like, you know, this is all feeling very special. We love our manager, we love our team, we've got a team that looks like it's sticking around. I think they've got a massive chance of going up next year. Massive chance. But their fans are super healthy.
But who's your Premier League club though?
Yeah, I did ask a few of them, and everyone said Liverpool.
I'm so sorry.
So a few people saying in the chat. I think it's worth putting out there. 1,163 people watching. 134 likes. Can we do better?
Something doesn't add up.
Adding up there.
Just can you be the best version of yourself?
Yeah.
And just put the like button.
That's it. Give it a flick, huh? Give it a flick. Whilst we're talking about FA Cup. Oh, yes. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate that. What was your opinion on replays being scrapped? Right. So on the mailbag this week, we started to talk about it and then we're like, come on, let's move on. We'll save it for now. And the thing I just wanted to chuck out there, which you kind of alluded to when we were chatting about it the other day, was that everyone's like, this is so bad, this is so bad, this is so bad. And what I would say is that replays being scrapped at the first round and maybe even the second round, I think, is a wasted opportunity when the FA Cup is about, you know, the grassroots to a point. Like, I've played in the FA Cup. Like, I'm not, and I'm obviously knowing it. So it's something that, like, can be really, it's just a special thing, right? It's a really, really special thing, of which we saw in that FA Cup semi-final. And I listened to a podcast. What was it? Sky Blues Fan TV, their podcast. And one of the guys said, when we get to the third round next year and you say...
They're in their accent.
I said, guys, listen up now. Guys, everybody listen up now. When we get to the third round next year, I don't want anyone saying, let's put in a reserve side, because it's just the FA Cup. Because this is the FA Cup.
Good.
That's what he said. apologies to anyone I've offended there. But it was a great point, because that's it. Like, if you don't get through the third round, you're not getting that FA Cup semi-final where you're 3-0 down and you get to free, like, all of that stuff, right? Catherine. Sorry, Catherine.
What's she fucking, what's it got to do with Catherine? Yeah, what's it got nothing to do with Catherine?
I'm talking about Coventry Birmingham. Fans, yeah? Excuse
She's
me.
From Birmingham. We're talking about Coventry.
That was a commentary accent. Anyway, the FA Cup replays, right. So everyone's going, we're going to lose money, And I think in the first round, second round, and, you know, the preliminary rounds, all those rounds, I think having those replays is really good, because the split is 45%, 45%, 10%. But I don't know if I'm right about this, but I just wanted to air it, is the fact that if you don't have replays from the third round, if you play Man United, so Preston play, no, it's Preston, it's someone lower than that. Leighton Orient play Man United, right? And they draw. And then someone like Forest Green Rovers play Port Vale, okay?
Yeah.
Both teams draw, right? Both teams don't have a replay. Both teams go to penalties. One team wins, one team loses, right? The opportunity for Port Vale to not have to do that replay, get through. Once you get through, there are less teams. There are generally better teams. There are therefore generally bigger teams. And therefore, you've got Port Vale and Forest Green Rovers have got a better chance of playing a big side and getting the 45% from that.
And also, can I tell you where I was?
See what I mean?
Because my immediate... Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, 100% on. And I tell you why you're right, because I was told that same thing by fans of clubs of Shrewsbury Town, for example. This is what I said. Like, I watched, I can't remember what I was replying to, but I said, this is further degradation of the integrity of the FA Cup and a move that favours the bigger clubs. in a competition which should be about equality, something along bullshit like that. And they, and then I was getting tweets like saying, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "What do you mean? What am I talking about? Well, do you support a big club then, do you?" "No, I support Shrewsbury Town." I was like, "Oh." I said, what do you want? And he went, "I don't want a replay. I don't want to have to get an like a dogged, hard-fought draw against Aston Villa at home and then have to go back to Villa Park and get pumped by their reserves. I want to win on penalties, and I want another big team. I want to go further." Because the fans don't see the bank balance. They don't see that. They experience it.
So I think there's more... I think it could be spun either way. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, like, I saw Mark White, who's Dorking Wanderers owner. He was saying how, you know, the money that makes. So I think the replays at a lower level, I think, would be of use, because I think the clubs involved, that is, you know, more exciting. Like, for example, I remember going to watch Leatherhead play Woking, two Surrey teams. So, like, it was a derby, but it was also, like, the last game before the first round. So that place was absolutely packed, and it ended in a draw, and you get another game, and again, it's packed. So those are important, because you want to, you know, basically, the point is it's the first time that there's an opportunity to go, how do we make as much money for everyone as possible? And so that's why I find it odd that they've gone, we're scrapping all replays when you could have had these ones and then stop it at the third round, and then everyone's happy. It just seems dumb. But
I agree with you, Jim. And look, I mean, in your best place, I'm not a great place to make a comment on this, because I'm a Spurs fan. You're brilliantly placed to have a comment on this. Your opinion is valid right now.
Yeah.
As a smaller club, tiny club, do you want replays?
Oh, let me throw it back to you. As a team that would love to win a trophy, it'll allow you to get there quicker, won't it? Because you can't screw it up. You've got less opportunity to screw it up. I would say QPR it up, but that's not a phrase, is it? If only there was a club who had their own fucking word. No, can't think of it. Can't think of what it is.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for Arsenal Spurs? Do you feel better because of the Everton thing, or do you feel like?
I was like, all jokes aside. Not all jokes aside, I'm not about to make a joke. Haven't made any jokes. I did have half a cap of magic mushrooms last night. I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, sure.
And I did sort of, I was getting into my own thoughts quite a lot.
Right.
And I did think, this is a good example of a club that's not supposed to win on this day, and then done a good job against a very good Liverpool side. And maybe this is a sign that Spurs, while not exactly in the same position of Everton, can get a result against... What do I feel, Jim?
Let me ask a question. I've got a question.
Go on.
Do you think it's better, and for the chat as well, do you think it's better for Tottenham to have had as long a break as they've had despite the bad result, obviously, at Newcastle?
No.
Or Arsenal had to play game after game, but
you
want to
be playing. You want to be playing. Yeah, the break isn't that. I mean, this season hasn't, that have constantly having 2 week breaks has two big issues. One, you lose momentum. It's not a good thing. And two, there's been a disassociation. There's been a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you're disassociated with your football club if you don't see them playing football. It's mad. I can't tell you how weird it is having such big gaps between games. You're disconnected. You become disconnected. So, no, I don't think Arsenal are at a disadvantage at all. Obviously not. Look at what they did to Chelsea. And there's a lot of pressure on them. They have to win every game, effectively, if they want to win the league, you'd think, depending on what happens tonight, Man City. I'm approaching it with the same trepidation as I always do with a North London derby, and that is, I'd rather not watch it. But...
Yeah, you're funny, aren't you?
What, you know, man,
you got to watch it. I mean,
you've got to watch it. Of course you've got to watch it. I'm not going to not watch it.
Yeah.
But, man, like, there's this idea, you know, people go, oh, yeah, Arsenal away, I've got a ticket. And I'm like, that is the last place on earth I'd want to watch a North London derby.
Oh, forever! Love that, don't they?
The irony of that song is incredible. Yeah, so it's good. Look, it's a combination of two things: is what's Arteta going to do, and also how effective is Postecoglou's football in this instance. I would go so far as to say that you're more likely to see us play a better performance against a team like Arsenal than you know, somebody right, shuts up shop.
Yeah. Will it be a ding? Yeah. I think it's going to be a ding-dong. I'm intrigued to see the first, like, 20 minutes and if the lack of playing means that you're a bit off in that first 50 minutes, because the Arsenal, they seem to start games so
fast.
So well.
Look, like, you can't, regardless, I hate them. You know I hate them. I don't have to say that. It's clear. But you cannot take anything away from them or Arteta. And it's supremely frustrating as a Spurs fan to watch them be so fucking competent. That's it. It's like they're consistently competent.
Yeah, they're really well drilled.
And it's sickening. I hate it. And I'm thinking, and you know what I thought as well? Like, Arsenal going for a good stage at the moment, last couple of seasons. Generally, net positive with Arteta, even though he finished eighth twice. So, that you know, they've got to be behind him. Even though some of these freaks are not. I was just looking at Liverpool and went, but there was times where Klopp's all conquering Liverpool, you think no one was ever going to touch him, and eventually they started to go tits up, so that's what I'm hoping for.
The question with the title race, so because there's the flip-flopping of that, with Arsenal, so I was thinking about this in terms of going, well, could Arsenal do it then? We said last week was probably before a 5-0 victory and a 2-0 victory away at Wolves.
I'm curious about what you're going to say here, Jim, because I got a lot of stick from last week's episode. So I'm curious, mainly around the title and the thumbnail. We've got a lot of stick from that.
Did you?
Because what is... Yes, whenever I say anything bad about Arsenal, I'll get someone wishing cancer on my family. But Jim, my point is I said something on the pod. I made a position, and I'm just wondering what you're about to say.
I'm going to say is what I said was that sometimes you have something in your mind that you think is the reason and how it's going to go, but we can only go on the win. You know, people often gently get swayed by the wins or the losses, right? And that conversation was happening after a loss, and now a week later they've had two really strong wins, right? I'm going to stick with what I think, which is, and it might not be the Tottenham game, but I think at some point they'll need to go and break down a team outside of set pieces. The set pieces won't work, and they won't have enough firepower or that out and out striker, a bit like the Bayern Munich game. I think that will come back again, and that will be the reason why they don't get over the line, because I think often teams at the top, it's not about conceding, it's about can you go and win it. And yeah. And that's why I'm sticking with that, regardless of how impressive Arsenal have been.
I think that's a fair thing to say. And also I said last week that anyone who thinks Arsenal are out of the title race is insane. This was before. Yeah, this was after the Villa loss. So that was my position. But Arsenal fans, the ones that attacked me in my DMs and stuff and on Twitter, they didn't actually watch the video. They just looked at the thumbnail and the title.
Well,
it's a shame. Yeah. Shame.
Do you know what I'm going to do next time? Flav gives reasonable angle on Arsenal. We'll do that. Flav gives reasonable take on Arsenal that will pander to them. Flav gives empathetic take on Arsenal. That work? Right. Here we go. Jim Big Laugh Awards back.
Can I, before you do that, there's a guy in the comments, joe.ie, saying I look like an Arsenal fan. Firstly, it's fucking, that makes me feel sick. Secondly, that's interesting you say that, because Lad Bible about to drop a new, can you find the fake fan?
Mate, this is my favourite one. It's my favourite one.
It is Tottenham versus Arsenal. Can they find the Arsenal fan amongst the Spurs fans?
If you want, so make sure you watch it. Support the lads. Get involved in the comments, and tell them we're great. And but also, obviously, the game is what is what we did. We would do. They would come in blindfolded, and we would go, I reckon him, him, and him. So like literally, first taste of the eyes, And then we'll gently sort of chat along the way. I think it's him. I think it's that. But make your picks before it kicks off. But this one's my favorite. I was in absolute shock. Absolute shock. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to watch that. Anyway. Right. Jim Big Laugh Award. Oliver Rudge. This is after last week's difficult pod for Arsenal fans. And we challenged them to get to the end. As an Arsenal fan who has made it to and also through this whole pod, as I do every week, my main takeaway is pure jealousy. I'm jealous of Flav. Jealous that he gets to support a team that operate in such a gargantuan shadow that even when they lose 4-0 to a team below them, nobody bats an eyelid. Must be nice. That's the other side, isn't it?
I think I replied to that, didn't I? I don't know.
Did you?
I was like, fair play. That was good.
Round.
No, it's good. No, not rattled. I wasn't fucking. Now I'm rattled because you're saying I'm rattled. That was. Sometimes you go, fuck, that one stung a little bit.
Yeah, really, that's good. Yeah, it's good. Not Joe Burrows. If Flav was a woman, he'd be the pigeon lady from Home Alone 2 or Heather from EastEnders. I don't get what? It. I don't understand it. It did make me laugh. It's more the pigeon lady. I didn't even read the second half of it. Pigeon lady from Home Alone. I don't know. I mean, it's because sometimes you're a bit like sort of angry at the world, aren't you? I just found that funny.
What's Heather from EastEnders? What's that?
I don't even want to search that.
That's outrageous.
That's not fair. Micken 56. When will Arsenal fans learn? Your hatred towards Flav only makes him stronger. You can blame him for the hurt you feel, but you should blame yourselves. Stop feeding him with hate. Stop bottling competitions. And stop calling for Arteta out. Funny. Itola Victor. I clicked expecting some regular banter about Arsenal crashing out. I got a detailed narration of Wayne Rooney waking up after a night of love with a granny. This is cinema.
Wait, I don't want to... I can't even start this conversation. Wayne Rooney is one of the most interesting looking humans I've ever seen. I can't stop looking at him.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? You're like...
I enjoyed him, yes. I enjoyed the bits, clips I saw. I like he was like, why do they keep talking about playing at 12:30? Get on with it. I love that. There's not enough of that. I think something with the panel, you need that antidote of someone going, well, get on with it. You got more money than anyone else.
He was very brass tacks, and you could see the joy he had of sitting there with Carragher. It was just this wry smile on his massive head.
Yeah, he got his nuts. His nuts bigger, isn't it? It's got bigger and bigger. He's just sort of. I just feel like someone's pumping him up every time I see him.
There's so much meat on his head.
Yeah. God.
You know, like in Jerry Maguire, he goes, a human head weighs 8 pounds.
Human head with, looks like me.
Not that one.
No, yeah. The human head, Wayne Rooney's head weighs 18 pounds. Mitchell, you know it's a good pod when Jim says the all-important line. That's the monetization con. Signs of a good pod, I was thinking, might be a good bit, therefore. So that apparently is a sign of a good pod. When I say that's the monetization con. What else is a sign of a good Jaffin pod? Let us know. Josh Garbutt, 5 minutes in. This is a top comment from last week. And we have a pitch-perfect German impression and Harry Kane eating a bowl of goals. Long live King and King. That was good fun. that's the longest I've been able to do an impersonation. Use that loosely. Daniel McMillan. So Jim surely can't think that hoodie looks better than the T-shirt over a hoodie. I don't really understand that bit, but it got 133 comments. And then the comments underneath said he has to be aware. It has to be a joke on us somehow. Yes, you were wrong. I was right. And it was a joke, yeah. And some of you got it in the end. What we'll say is, I thought this was interesting. Me and my dad had this conversation as we walked out of QPR Preston after this bad boy came through. So we had the debate, should we wear the shirt? Could it be good luck? Could it be bad luck? And the boys did the job. 1-0. Happy days. But as we walked out, I was like, lucky shirt. And we're talking about superstition. And then we were saying how ridiculous it is to think that by simply wearing the same, just forget about wearing the same piece of clothing, but just the idea that you will win every game forever.
Because yeah, it's completely stupid.
It's so stupid. But, right, is it...
But so, you are going to win every game forever.
No. So QPR got Leeds. We're pretty much safe. We probably just need a point to be absolutely sure. Last home game against Leeds, right? What I'm trying to do is retain the superstition, good luck, power by not rinsing the shirt and wearing it every game. So do I put it to one side for when I really need it? So I have a similar thing, right? When it's a corner kick or a free kick and I really need them to not score now, I will cross my toes and my fingers. But I won't. I don't want to use them all up. So I won't do it, you know, I won't be doing that at, like, every corner because it's silly.
Yeah, you can only do it. So I used to do this when I was a child, James. But yeah. What did I ever tell you about what I used to do?
Younger heart.
So I would have been about 10 at the time.
Right.
I would pretend I had two pedals below my feet.
Were your mushrooms?
No, I was completely compos mentis.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, so if I would have a defensive pedal and an attacking pedal.
Yeah, you have to.
And if I felt like we needed the additional support when they were on the break or something, I'd put down a defensive pedal.
Yeah.
Every time. And I was even accepting sometimes I can't, some goals have got to go in. I can't just stop every goal from going in at Spurs. So I'd put defensive. And if we were on an attack, attacking pedal down.
I bet that everyone watching this completely understands what we're talking about right now. And is like, this makes complete sense. Yeah, I think it makes complete sense to a lot of people. Because it's Leeds. See, this is the problem as well. You got to play the game, right? Leeds, very good team. Still going for automatic promotion. One of the best attacks in the league. Best squads in the league. I'm not sure I want to be wasting the shirt on that. Do you know what I mean?
Because they're destined to win.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just keep it. I'm just going to keep it. Keep it for the last game's Cov away. Hopefully won't need that because it'll all be sorted. Not everyone can win both games. But yeah.
Yeah, you're done.
Flav at 10 would definitely punch cats, says Joe Allen. Didn't expect that. We'll just do some new bits because they're there. Because I think it's worth doing. But we've got some other bits that were good. One thing, quickly. Harry Pell, he said, I've got a solution for the controversial handball decisions that we're having. You know where it's like, it hits the hand and it's like, is it a penalty or not, right? He said, VAR isn't the problem. The problem is penalties. Don't give a penalty for it. Give a free kick. I think that's really good.
What? Say that again?
So, maybe people might start to do it. But if it's the one where people just like cross the ball and it hits the hand, right? And you haven't meant it, but your arm's like that.
Indirect free kick inside the box?
Yeah. No, just no penalty instead.
I don't think I haven't seen a indirect free kick in fucking decades. I don't think I've seen... Occasionally, when the pass back rule came in, you get quite a few in that first season. Keepers would forget.
Yeah, I remember.
And pick it up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, whoa, indirect free kick. And you'd have a couple. And we at Spurs scored a couple from inside the box. But I think they've died out. More indirect free kicks. Yeah, exactly what Jack Kirby says. More indirect free kicks.
Yeah. Okay. Football rhyming slag. Barnsley, LMA, hope you're well. So, Barnsley says, potential new bit. Barnsley was, I'm Josh Barnes. Hang on, what was it? I forgot what Ainsley was. What's an Ainsley? Oh, cooking, yeah. Okay. Football rhyming slam. This is my attempt to become, I'm going to butcher this, Ulysses S. Grant. You know who that is, Flo?
No.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Of Jaffin. And pleasure both the football and non-football adoring slugs. A former employer of mine once asked me to grab the Romelus. I was taken aback without knowledge of what he was referring to. Stepping out of the vehicle we were in, I was informed that he was referring to the Lukakis.
That's shit. It doesn't rhyme. It's not his name. You can't just...
To this day, whenever I pick up my keys, the first thought I have is of Belgium's broadest baller. Belgium's broadest bald baller. That'd be great. That'd be great for Lukaku if he became a wrestler or UFC fighter, because you could put that on the bill. It's Belgium's broadest baller. So, by the way, Sugar Gay. Sorry, his name is Sugar Gay.
Sugar Gay.
Sugar Gay. That's his name on here. Sure, that's fine. Sugar Gay 7168. Does that mean there's 7,000? How many Sugar Gays are there? Do you know who Ulysses S. Grant was? Barnsley said, did he not stop the Yanks scrapping? So, if I don't know. Here he is.
What is going on? Am I having a stroke? Okay. Why are we talking about Ulysses?
I don't know. I thought you'd know who he was. Does anyone know who he is?
No, I don't know who he is.
Okay. Well, so the point is, football rhyming slang. That's a new bit. Get it in the comments. What are your football rhyming slangs like? The Romelus. Lukakis. Nice. Mm. Oh, yeah, just a bit of admin. I think some people think you're a recurring guest because it's called James and Flaffer now. Does that mean we need to change the name of the podcast?
No.
Okay.
We just ignore these people.
Right, and then finally, so again, get your gentle disputes in. What have you had a long-term argument that just sort of keeps cropping up with someone?
Mine with my missus is, I've said this in the mailbag, but we're trying to buy a house at the moment, and we're constantly niggling at each other about how important it is that the parking is adequate for this new house. I'm like, fucking figure it out. Yeah. Like, if we'll park somewhere, where she's like, no, it must be good parking.
Okay.
And it's rumbling on.
Right, he was the S. Grant was the 18th United States president. Thank you, Ali.
Don't care.
Oh, that's good to learn things, isn't it?
Is it not that thing? Is it that was good to learn? Is it?
Well, let's finish on a high. If that's a low, bacon. Yeah. We had a little chat about bacon. I'm just gonna chuck this out there. Guys. I think bacon's overrated.
Yeah,
I find it generally unfulfilling. Unfilling, which is thus unfulfilling. I can't really decide on what's good bacon. Like, you can have sort of a bigger one. When I'm having bacon, really deep down, I just like some gammon.
Really? You just want big bacon? You want big bacon?
See, that's what I mean. You know, some people like soggy bacon or some people like crispy bacon. Then in America, they have the, like, mad crispy bacon, which I'm just like, what's the point of that? So I just generally, I'm confused by it. I generally think it's just sort of snuck on the plate. I think we said in the podcast a while back, do you remember what we were doing if different clubs were fruit? And someone said that Spurs was melon and a fruit bowl because it's because it's somehow there and massive, but no one ever eats it. But yeah, bacon, I just think it's just like, it's just crept into our daily lives, and it's just on the plate, and it's in an all English breakfast. When deep down, all you really want is a sausage.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe Allen says if you don't like bacon, you ain't a man. Does that make you more manly, Joe? You ain't a man.
You ain't a man. Yeah, I mean, look, as a vegetarian, I'm hard for me to comment on this, but I even when I ate meat, I never had bacon. So, but I'll tell you what I do. I often make homemade burgers for the family.
That's and lovely.
But make them from scratch, not just like, into a little patty and then, yeah. But sometimes if I can be asked, I'll get some streaky bacon and I'll put it in the air fryer.
Oh, yeah.
So it gets hard. And then you put it into the burger, you wrap the burger and the bun in tinfoil and you stick that in the air fryer as well, right? Do it for about 2 or 3 minutes and the cheese melts and it looks exactly like those burgers, American burgers back in the day.
Really?
Where the cheese would be gooey and melting salivate. On the side. I can't eat it, but the kids and missus go mental for them. They actually go mental.
Really? Yeah, it's great. It smashed the place up. It's just the day. They smashed the place up.
Yeah.
Is that why you're moving? Is that why you're moving?
Yeah. Just keep smashing the place up because of the burgers.
Stop it! I've got to say this because I am still salivating. I had a burger at Coventry. It's the best burger. It's possibly the best burger I've ever had. Certainly the best burger I've ever had at a at a football match. And the burger, it was that thick. It was unbelievable. If you're going to Coventry away, my QPR brethren, if you're going to Coventry away for the last game of the season, please get a burger. You won't regret it. Don't get the chips. You don't need it with it. The burger's essentially a meal. It was amazing. And the burger bun has the design of a football on it as well. So
there you go.
So that's lovely.
Yeah. Keeping with what's going on.
The other question I've got is English breakfast, right? You can take one thing off and have double of something else. What are you taking out? And what are you doubling up?
Getting rid of mushrooms and grilled tomatoes.
Grilled tomatoes rarely done well, is it? It's very rarely done.
No one eats it. Everyone leaves a grilled tomato, unless you're a nonce.
Will Starling. Jim, you questioned Norwich's signing of Sarah last season. Are you now in a position to admit he's the best midfielder in Europe? Enjoy your £2.50, Flav. Sure.
Cheers.
Yeah, sure. If that's what you need. That's what you need, babe. Right. Bumper edition. Good times.
Yeah, man, I've got to go.
Yeah. Right, guys. Have an amazing weekend. Oh, we didn't do football legacies, but we'll do that next week. And it will be Stephen Taylor pretending to be shot when he got handballed it. So join us next week for that.
Did you do the big reveal of Stephen Taylor got his new managerial job?
Yeah.
Mental.
So weird.
He was literally the last person I thought was going to come out of that. I mean,
really?
They did it well.
I was like, 13 seasons in the Premier League. God, he did do well. He was all right when he was steady enough.
Yeah, and they were talking, I think we got the guy.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. So yeah, have a great weekend.
Take care.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.